I was in a valley, I was sinking low. I had slipped and fallen, I had missed the goal. Condemnation threatened, so I cried out in fear. Mercy said, forgiven, come and fly up here.
I love the Lord, He heard my cry. He lifted me way up high and set my feet upon a mountain top. Just think of it, the Lord the King, the Creator of everything, bless me with a love that won't stop.
So if you bear the burden of a sin-scarred life, your past mistakes and failures haunt you in the night, you can be forgiven, for God's word is true, and on the wings of eagles, you can sing this too.
I love the Lord, He heard my cry, He lifted me way up high, and set my feet upon the mountain top. Just think of it, the Lord the King, the Creator of everything, bless me with a love that won't stop. He loves me with a love that won't stop.
We're very thankful to have the Ayers with us as part of our church, and thankful again for Mrs. Ayers jumping in to play the piano, and we're very thankful that Brother Ayers is willing to come up and preach, and we're looking forward to it tonight. You come on ahead, brother, and give us what the Lord has.
Well, it's good to be here tonight, and it's always a privilege and an honor to preach. I appreciate Pastor Leithley for allowing me to do this, and it's a great honor, but it's also an awesome responsibility, amen, to open the Word of God. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and I want to read this chapter. I want to talk about one verse in here today. I will refer to other verses, but it's one verse that drew my heart and my mind towards this. And I've heard this verse many times, and I've used it as a Christmas message. But tonight I just want to talk about our wonderful Savior just present three aspects of this verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this day. Pray to bless the reading of your word to our hearts today. Lord, the most important thing that I will say tonight is just simply to read the word of God. And Lord, if we'll take it and apply it to our hearts and apply it to our lives, Lord, it will cause a great change in us. And I pray that that's what will happen this night. I pray that you guide and direct and bless and help us to serve you. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 1 Timothy is a great chapter. I mean, you have mercy. You have grace. You have a love and charity. You have all these things in this chapter. And it always stands out to me. Verse number 15, that's what I want to talk about tonight and bring a few aspects of this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. And Paul added, of course, of whom I am chief. And Paul very distinctly here talks about his salvation later on. I want to talk about that just a moment here. But it was interesting that the songs that were picked, I did not pick the song for tonight. They were already picked. But one of those songs was I Love to Tell the Story. It was written by Catherine Hankey about 1866, and she was on her way back from Africa. And she was sick, and she was on the ship. And she wrote this hymn, and I want to read it tonight, and I'm not going to sing like Brother Brain did this morning. You would not want me to, so I'm not going to. But I want to read this song tonight, and it was written as a poem. And then someone later on put music to it, and put a tune to it, and arranged it. So I'm going to do it justice tonight by just quoting the poem. But I'm going to take a verse at a time, and we're going to get through this song, but I have enjoyed this song and ever since I've been saved, and I have a testimony of salvation, and I'm not going to give it tonight. I will tell you when I got saved, but I'm not going to tell you the particulars about it. I have preached a message and preached my testimony, and I've used this song. But I want to use this because this verse, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It goes so well with it because this is the gospel in just this little verse here. Of course, we understand that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the song starts out, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. 1 and 2 Timothy was written to Timothy, who Paul called his son in the faith. And later on, Paul even uses that same term in talking about Titus. And tells about Titus, he says, my own son after the common faith. So it is an instruction that Paul is giving to Timothy, his son. He's much older. According to scholars, this book was written around 65 A.D. Paul was saved around 34 A.D. So 31 years previously, if we can trust the dates, and I trust them as much as you can, but in 31 years, Paul is still talking about his salvation. Amen. Do you ever think about your salvation? I hope every person here has a salvation experience. I hope that you can think back. I know some folks get saved at a very young age, 5 or 6 or 7 or such. And you might not remember the exact date, but I would hope that you would remember that experience. And Paul remembered it very specifically. Of course, he saw the light, remember, and heard the voice of Jesus and talking to him. It was a very profound thing that Paul went through. But salvation can be a very profound thing that happens to all of us. And I've thought about my salvation, August 26th. 1980. Amen. Almost 39 years ago, the Lord saved me, and I've been so grateful. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth." So you understand that Paul, being older, David said, "I have been young and now am old." Now I consider I'm getting old, but I'm definitely not as old as some, Brother Matthews. Amen. I'm not as old as that, but Lord willing, I will make it to that old age. Amen. And I want you to know today that Paul had a message. I began to read 1 Timothy recently to hear what God has to say to preachers. You know, you can always learn from the Word of God. Amen. Doesn't matter what stage of life that you're in. Paul talked of good works in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And I got to looking at those words. Do you know that Paul talked about women in these two books? And he said that, told them 3 times to do good works. He told the men 3 times to do good works. And then one was kind of a general, charge to do good works. Paul and God is interested in our good works, amen, to follow the Lord and to do good works. I want to read a verse, and I think you'll be familiar with it, because I thought of it this morning because Brother Braden was reading it. But it goes like this: "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Do you know that I've been reading this verse? Pastor Lethley talked to me last Sunday. "Would you preach next Sunday?" And I said, "I'd be glad to." You know, I've been reading this and I've been writing things down. You know, the things that I wrote down, Brother Braden, went right along with this chapter, that this verse that you preached this morning. You know, God knows, amen. God leads. And that gave me, when Brother Braden was talking about this glory, I thought, maybe I'm on the right track here. Amen. But you know, in verse number 11, you see in our text, it says, "According to the glorious gospel." You know, if you run that word glorious through the New Testament, there's all sorts of different things that I didn't write them down. But do it sometimes if you can. Run down the word glorious and this glorious gospel. I want to take that word glorious. And I don't want to apply it to the aspects of verse number 15. And I want to look at 3 aspects here. And first of all, before we do that, this verse stands out in my mind. You know, many years ago, many, many years ago, Workman was working on the Crystal Palace in London. I've never been to London, but I know that great preachers came out of there. And he was up on top of the Crystal Palace and he was having lunch, and he had been under conviction. And it, just like a voice from heaven, this verse came out: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And he fell down on his face and accepted the Lord Jesus as a Savior right then. And come to find out, the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon had walked into the Crystal Palace And he was warming up his voice and he spoke that verse, getting ready to preach a message there later that day. And not knowing that, this man got saved. Isn't it a wonderful thing? This thing, he'd been under conviction. I want to look at these things today. First of all, the second verse of that song, I love to tell the story, goes, I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all my golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I want to take this word glorious out of verse 11. I want to say, first of all, there's a glorious saying. A glorious saying. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, the Bible says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Bible says, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. In Titus chapter 1, 1 through 3, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, in the acknowledging of truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God and our Savior. You know, the preaching of God's word is preeminent. The preaching of God's word is what we need to have. Have you ever woke up on a Sunday and thought, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to get, I'm tired. One of my favorite stories is about the man who woke up and told his wife, I don't want to go to church today. I'm tired of going to church. The people there don't like me. They talk about me. And I'm just not going to church today. And she said, get up, you have to go to church. He said, why do I have to go to church? She said, because you're the pastor. Sometimes, folks, there's never been a day, there's never been a time when I didn't feel like, and I'll be honest with you, there's time I haven't felt well, tired, maybe work. But there's never been a time I came to church that God didn't touch my heart and encourage me through the Word of God. Preaching is God's way of counseling us. My pastor used to say that preaching is just group counseling. And speaking of the preaching and the type of preaching, my pastor used to always say, there's two types of preaching that make me want to preach. It's good preaching and bad preaching. And after this morning, I felt like preaching. It was good preaching, by the way. I don't think I've heard Brother Braden ever do a message that wasn't wonderful. I say that honestly. But I want you to know that preaching is in God's heart. And it's a must. The verse says here, listen, this is a faithful saying. This is the saying, and that's the preaching. That's what God wants. He wants faithful saying. Faithful meaning true. That's what faithful means. And anytime you open up the Word of God and you can hear it and you can preach it, it's truth being taught to us. Amen. It is the preaching of the Word of God that leads men. It is the preaching of the Word of God that leads women. It's the preaching of the Word of God that causes folks to come to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The song also says, I love to tell the story to pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. Not only is it a glorious saying, but it's a glorious Savior. Christ Jesus. Look at our text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation at Christ Jesus. Now I wonder, why is that Christ Jesus? Well, Christ is the Messiah, the promised one, the chosen one. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I tell you, that's just one of the most astounding verses in the Bible. Talking about Jesus, talking about his coming. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. And that is who Paul talked about. Christ Jesus. He's a wonderful Savior. Jesus is the second word. Jesus is the Old Testament equivalent of Joshua. And it means Savior, of course, and it was a common name. Joshua was a common name. And it is, so Jesus came as a common man. He came just like anybody else into this world. Yet, he was God in the flesh. He came to save us, not from poverty, or sickness, or persecution. You know, the Jews wanted deliverance from the Roman rule. Jesus came willingly to save us. In John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God." And that is what each and every one of us need to remember. Jesus Christ came to save, not from sickness, not from poverty, not from debt. Today we hear cries for equality, to take care of everyone equally. And especially lately, it seems like the cry for socialism and trying to take care of everybody is in the forefront. But I want you to know that no government has ever provided security of heart and health to any person. They may try to. They might give you a little pittance here and there and say, "We're going to take care of you." But none have ever take care of the problems of the heart. Only God can do that. Jesus, our Savior, gives us security of life everlasting. We can glory in our Savior. Amen. Verse 4 of their song says, "I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love." He's a glorious Savior. But it's also a glorious salvation. It's a glorious salvation. And what is it? It's for sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen? Any sinners here tonight? We're all sinners. Amen? Look at verses 9 through 10. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing, it is contrary to sound doctrine." Now there are some sinners, amen? Too many times we see folks in today's society and we say, "Oh, look at those sinners." The folks were just like them. We're sinners also. And if you're saved today, you're a sinner saved by grace. Amen. We are saved by the grace of God. And it's these sinners just like us. Every commandment of God's law, the Ten Commandments, we have broken. James chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend the one point, he is guilty of all. Amen? We're guilty of all the laws. And that is what Jesus did for us. That's the Savior. That's the sinners. Paul said in verse 12 through 14, look at, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, and I have obtained mercy. No, it was Paul that stood while they stoned Stephen and they threw their coats to at his feet. He was there. When Paul got saved, he was going to persecute more Christians. He had letters. He was taking them to arrest them, to persecute them. Oh, his salvation was on his mind. Paul knew that he had been saved from sin. I hope tonight that you can say, I've been saved from sin. I hope tonight that you can say, God gave me a new life. It's a glorious salvation because it's for sinners like you and I. You know, Catherine Hankey wrote another song. I don't know if it's in our hymnal, but it goes right along with this one. Like I said, it was a poem. And it goes, tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the story softly with earnest tones and grave. Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story Christ Jesus makes thee whole. Let me ask you, do you know the old, old story tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, it's no accident that we preach on salvation. It is a wonderful. I love to tell the story. I loved to preach about Jesus and what He can do for you. And in a crowd of this size, I don't know, maybe there's one here, maybe there's two that have never trusted Jesus Christ. Tonight would be a great time to trust the Lord. Tonight would be a great time. I was 27 years old when I got saved. I had thought I was saved. I had been a deacon in a Baptist church. I'd driven a bus for a bus ministry. I had been a Sunday school teacher. I'd done all sorts of things, thinking, you know, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm clear. But when finally God convicted me of my sins and said, you're not saved, I bowed my head and asked Him to save me. So that's why I love to tell the story. And I hope tonight, after the message of this morning, of to glory only in God, to glory only in Him, and then tonight, these glorious aspects of this verse, to glory in our Savior. You can do that by accepting Him and calling upon Him tonight as your personal Savior. Maybe you want to dedicate your life even more. Maybe God spoke to your heart in some other way. I have no idea. But tonight, think about this. This is a worthy saying, or this is a saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and ask Brother Braden to come and lead in a hymn of invitation tonight. Lord, I pray that you be with us here tonight. I pray that you guide and direct and touch our hearts, Lord, and I pray that you be with us. I pray, Lord, that if there's one here not saved, I pray that you'd save them before it's eternally too late. I pray, God, tonight that the Holy Spirit would deal with folks. I pray, God, that we would look at this glorious message, this glorious saying tonight, and the glorious Savior, and the glorious salvation. And I pray, Lord, that we'll apply it to our hearts. I pray that you draw us close to you. I pray that there's one here that would accept Jesus Christ. Or Lord, at least go with them from here and Holy Spirit convict them and speak to them and don't let them rest until they get saved. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us here tonight. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.